This is Keith Bearden. It's July 25th, 2015 at Texas Bandmasters Association Convention in San Antonio. We're interviewing Paula Kreider today, who's the 2014 International Phi Beta Mu Bandmaster of the Year. Paula, we've been friends a long time, and it's an honor to do this with you. And I'd just like for you to tell our audience how you got started in band, the year you started teaching, and sort of what it was like in school at that time.
Well, I went to a very small high school in Mississippi and played basketball. And it wasn't until my junior year that our basketball coach quit and became a principal. We had a really good team, and the new coach didn't like coaching girls. So I got mad at him one day and stormed off and went through a door, and a guy was standing there, and he said, "Oh, here you are." And he said, "Blow through the small end," and he handed me a trumpet. And he wasn't expecting me, I found out later, but the minute I played that horn and made a sound, it was probably the worst sound ever made in the world of trumpet playing, I just knew immediately that I found what I wanted to do. And so I continued in band and went on to college. My parents didn't want me to major in music, so I had a degree in English literature. I have a minor in physics, and just kind of did the music thing covertly until I graduated, and the mom found out that I was getting ready to student teach. So that was a kind of a shocker. I started teaching, student teaching in 1967, and 3 days after I started student teaching, the band director had a heart attack. Wasn't my fault.
Wow.
And they asked me if I'd like to teach and substitute teach, and they'd pay me. So I said, "Yeah, that'll be great." And the band program was so bad that they couldn't find anybody to take it. So I just kind of became an instant band director. And I don't know how good that was for the kids, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me because my learning curve was incredibly sharp. And I went to friends, and as we all do, learned from the people that knew how to do things. So that's the way I started my career.
And how many classes did you have? What were the class structures like?
Oh, gosh. Well, I taught beginner band all the way up through. It was a small high school, and just one high school band. There were 48 kids in the high school band, and that included 7th and 8th graders. So we couldn't march 6 to 5 because their little legs were too short.
Do you remember your beginning salary?
I do. It was $2,200.
We never forget those first salaries.
I still have the contract.
So some of the changes through the years, what have you noticed?
Well, I think probably the biggest change has been the change in standards. When I do band director workshops today, I tell young people that they know so much more than I did when I started teaching. And, you know, the method books are better, the fact that when I was in college, there were so few recordings of great bands. And now, you know, all you have to do is go on the internet. So I think great band students and great musicians never change. But I think that the whole structure of the band programs have changed as far as equipment and methods and teaching techniques.
What negatives and positives do you see in today's atmosphere conditions?
You know, I hear a lot of people complaining about kids these days. You know, they're entitled and yada, yada, yada. But you know, I don't believe that because the kids with whom I work, if they're motivated, if they're taught to love music, they're the same everywhere. And they're wired a little bit differently. They're learning differently now. And I think we need to really figure out what that rewiring is. But I don't see a big difference in that, except that the kids sure play a lot better than they did back in the 50s and 60s.
And who are your mentors along the line?
My college band director was a guy named Bill Moody, and he was very influential, as are all great college band directors. I know your kids say the same thing about you. And he was probably the first, and then so many mentors that didn't know they were being mentors, like Fred Fennell and Bill Rovelli and Mark Hinesley and all of the greats, because every time they were within a 50-mile radius, I would go watch them rehearse and learn from them. And then I came to Texas. And what an eye-opener that was. And, you know, again, the giants, the Fred Junkins and Bryce Taylors and J.R. McIntyres, all of those people who had great band programs and were willing to share how they taught, and what I should be doing.
What were some personal highlights in your career? And certainly speak toward the University of Texas, the times you were there.
Well, yeah, that was, I never thought in a million years that I would ever become a university band director. I wondered, did you?
No.
No, you know, and what a privilege it was to work with those kids. I think, I just get on my editorial soapbox for a minute, I think that it's really easy for people today to denigrate marching band. And I am extremely proud of the fact that I got to work with some of the best and brightest kids at the University of Texas in the marching band. And I enjoy that as much as I did, you know, certainly working in the concert side of things. And those are the kind of kids that don't necessarily major in music, but they grow up, and if they love music, they're the ones that are going to write the checks to help other young people get through school.
Would you do anything differently in your career if you had it to do over?
You know, in a clinic a couple weeks ago, somebody said, don't you wish you knew now, that, you know, knew then what you know now? And my first thought was, yeah, but if that were the case, it would have been so much fun. Because I think we learn by saying sometimes, boy, that's a great idea, and other times, wow, I'll never do that again. If I could do one thing again, I would be a kinder, gentler director my first few years. I was trying to imitate my male role models, and it took a while to find my own teacher's voice. I think, you know, that when you start out and you embarrass kids, and I did, and I yelled at kids, and if I could take that back, I would, because I found better ways to make kids, to encourage kids to want to be the best they can be.
And you'd mentioned some of the great names in your time that you looked up to, and did you want to add any more that you can think of?
Oh golly, I'm really embarrassed. I wrote a book, and I interviewed some of the greats, and I'll leave them out, but people like John Bourgeois and Richard Strange, Arnold Gabriel, Jim Croft, Bob Reynolds, I mean, all of those people were such great models.
And that book is published by GIA. What's the name of it?
this is embarrassing. A Conductor's Legacy.
Conductor's Legacy, and that's a must read for all young directors or older directors.
Well, you know, I was selfish when I wrote it, because I wanted to ask them questions like, how did they get started, and how do they study scores, and what do they read, and what do they do? And you know, the neat thing about it was all of those guys started where we all start. They weren't instant successes.
Do you have any favorite compositions through the years?
Oh, yikes.
Two or three. You don't have to name a list. It doesn't have to be in order.
Well, you know, and one of my all-time favorite pieces is the Doll Sinfonietta. I think that's one of the most incredibly well-crafted pieces for every instrument. I love that. And then, you know, Lincolnshire Posey, Holst E-flat, some of the standards of our band literature are certainly my favorites. And then, you know, I'm a real fan of some of the newer pieces. Don Grantham, I think, and of course I'm prejudiced because he's on the UT faculty, but I think his pieces are marvelous. And so many new pieces that, you know, Morton Gould Symphony, love it.
What would you want to say to new directors just starting our profession?
That you're in for the ride of your life. Don't ever quit, because when you have the bad days, if you'll look at that child that comes in with a gleam in their eye and can't wait for you to let them play music, then everything else will go away. And you can't put a price on what we do.
No. And in closing, would you like to add anything that I haven't asked you? Or
I just think that I'm the luckiest person in the world to have lived a life of music. And I got paid for it.